Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on an explosive Thursday. We're live in Los Angeles, and this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. A couple hours from now, Daniel Jeremiah, former NFL scout, and I will draft half of the first round in real time live. We will have a draft of the first 16 picks in the NFL draft. I cannot wait to do that. You know, Joy, this is my life. This is all I do. And now that I live in a hotel for 2 weeks, which, by the way, I left my phone there today. I literally have no phone, you know. I'm just a mess right now.
My mother does that. Like, just leaves her phone places. It'll be at, like, other people's houses, but, like, you didn't check, like... No?
I mean, when you're living a home, I'm eating matzo ball soup every day. I'm sleeping with my pants on. I mean, it's just a, I mean, the whole thing. I don't got my dogs. I don't have my wife.
I wish we were doing like a YouTube reality series of Colin's life in the hotel.
it's not good. So eventually, sports gives us answers. Joy and I were talking about this yesterday. When you watch those documentaries like Michael Jordan, I mean, you kind of hear about stuff. But there's nothing better than a great sports movie or a great sports book or a great sports article to give you all the little rumors, gossip, and innuendo. So for the last month, Russell Wilson and his people have been taking shots at Pete Carroll. And I've told you for the last year, Pete's not really into Russ, and Russ used to be, but he's not really into Pete. And when Paul Allen, the owner, died, he was very passionate about football. His sister now owns the team. She's not that interested. She doesn't have the eagle eye on Pete Carroll. And Pete now runs the franchise. It is Pete's franchise. John Snyder doesn't have final say in personnel. Russell Wilson has little say in anything. It is a power, lopsided power dimension. Pete's got all of it. And this morning in The Athletic, they write the article, multiple sources. This is explosive. Apparently, before a Thursday night game against Arizona, Russell was struggling, came in, left the room furious with coaches dismissing his ideas. Russell Wilson went to receive Man of the Year during the Super Bowl, sat next to Roger Goodell, and seethed as he watched Tom Brady rarely get hit on the offensive line. Russell Wilson went back to Pete Carroll and said, can we talk about what we're going to do with the offensive line? And Russell Wilson was dismissed. Tom Brady has never been dismissed in Tampa. Mahomes is never dismissed in Kansas City. This article lays it out. Pete has no interest in Russell Wilson's ideas, thoughts, schemes, or coaching ideas. He's not interested. And let's be honest, Pete's never really totally been into Russell Wilson. He sent the general manager, John Snyder, to scout Josh Allen out of Wyoming. That made Russell and his agent furious. And according to the Athletic story today, they would have absolutely drafted Mahomes if he falls to them. Now, come on. If you have Mahomes, you don't draft Russell Wilson. And if you have Russell Wilson, you don't draft Mahomes. They're just not that into him. I've been told Russell was into Pete Carroll, but now he's been sacked 394 times in 9 years, and he's over it. Look at the last five stars in any sport that have left a coach that's successful. Brady Belichick, who won? Kawhi Popovich, who won? Aaron Rodgers, McCarthy, who's looked better? KD and Steve Kerr, sorry, but the Warriors are no longer a championship team. KD wins. And Chris Paul and Doc. The star always lands on his feet and flourishes. I've seen this with my business. The Bill Simmons will end up flourishing somewhere. It's the networks that have the hole. There's always going to be a taker for a great player. Pete Carroll is sub 500 in the NFL without Russell Wilson. And this is where Pete has a hole. Russell Wilson was dogged at North Carolina State. This is his sensibility. He had to transfer out of North Carolina State because after three great years, Russell Wilson's coach dismissed him to Mike Glennon. So that's in his DNA. Russell's sensitive about that. He goes to Wisconsin and literally lights up the Big Ten, best numbers ever for Wisconsin football offense. And he doesn't get drafted until the third round. So Russell Wilson has a right to be a little defensive. He is also the greatest player in NFL history who's never received a single MVP vote. Not a vote. So Russell Wilson's reality is, my college coach, even though I was a star, I had to transfer. I go to Wisconsin, I set school records, I get drafted in the third round. I take a losing coach and make him a Hall of Famer, Pete Carroll. I don't get a single MVP vote. I'm sorry, but I'm going to defend Russell Wilson. If he's a little defensive, getting sacked 394 times in 9 years. He's a little defensive. He's a little gun-shy when he's dismissed by coaches. And the last five-star players who have been dismissed from their team, or the coach has parted, or there's been a divorce, the players won every single time. So now, is Russell Wilson replaceable? Well, Oprah Winfrey was irreplaceable on daytime TV. Howard Stern was irreplaceable FM radio. Michael Jordan, the Bulls have never been the same, was irreplaceable for the NBA and the Bulls. LeBron, 3-for-3, has been irreplaceable in the NBA, and I would say Tom Brady in New England appears to be irreplaceable. Is Russell Wilson irreplaceable? I don't know. But boy, he's good. Boy, he's good. Wisconsin football's never looked like that since he left. Not offensively. NC State football hasn't looked like that since he left. And Pete Carroll's got a losing record pre-Russell Wilson. Fired twice in a losing record in Seattle. So I don't think Pete's ever truly been into him. I think Russell was. He no longer is. The Athletic has the piece. It lays it all out. And it, as we predicted, when Tom Brady went to Tampa and his team listened to him and they got him pieces he wanted, and they rebuilt offensive pieces they were missing, and they treated him like a star. Read this article. Look how Russell Wilson has acted since then. Russell Wilson never leaked anything. Russell Wilson's people didn't do this. In the last month since Brady won, every week, Joy and I have been here, there's been a Russell Wilson story. And now it comes out. He watched Brady and that offensive line get rebuilt in a year. He watched Brady get Gronk. He watched Brady get Leonard Fournette. All the guys that scored for Tom Brady in the Super Bowl were guys that Tom Brady asked to get. Antonio Brown, Gronk, and Leonard Fournette. And he asked them, draft an offensive lineman. All of them. Seattle, Russell looks at that and says, can anybody ever listen to me? And they don't. So real drama. I still cannot believe Seattle would move off Russell Wilson. I can't believe they would. But read the story yourself. It's ugly. Okay, I believe this story, and I agree with this story. John Lynch, GM of the 49ers, came out yesterday and said, Jimmy Garoppolo is our starting quarterback this year. I like him, and we're not moving off him. I believe that story. This story from Diana Russini. The Houston Texans will not trade Deshaun Watson. They are refusing. They believe they can salvage the relationship. Okay. So I'm going to say I believe both. So, and I do believe Houston wants to salvage it. And I do believe Garoppolo wins 75% of the time in San Francisco, and there's nobody available for San Francisco with a 12th pick. So let's look at the quarterbacks that are now off the market. Matthew Stafford to Ram. Carson Wentz to the Colts. Deshaun's not going to be traded. Dak, according to a story yesterday, is going to be franchised. He's not in the market, and Jimmy Garoppolo's off it. Okay, so what is now on the market? Oh, this is interesting. Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, Marcus Mariota, and five rookies. It's not exactly a robust group after Trevor Lawrence, and he's gone with the first pick. So my question is, the worst-case scenario has now arrived for the New England Patriots. That's what's available. And by the way, this morning I counted 9 teams that need a quarterback. Jags, Jets, Eagles, Panthers, Broncos, Patriots, Washington, Bears, Saints. Meaning, I just showed you the nine available, and there's nine that need them. Meaning, there's going to be bidding wars on some. We know David Tepper of Carolina is a very wealthy man and very aggressive. He will overpay for a quarterback. We know Philadelphia will probably overdraft or overpay. That's what they do. We know the Saints. Sean Payton's not going to be here messing around. He's going to overpay for somebody or overdraft. This is New England post Tom Brady. Lost. It's the worst case scenario. The quarterback market's barren. Eight other teams beside you want one, and you've got the 15th pick. My guess is New England absolutely has to trade up in this draft. I don't know what they're going to trade. I really don't. They don't have any players anybody wants. Maybe they give three first-round picks. But this is New England post-Brady. Pete Carroll, Seattle, are you watching? All right, good stuff. Patrick Ewing, one of the all-time great centers, said something interesting about Steph Curry yesterday, and I think it speaks to something that puts Steph Curry in a class that there's only two other players that are ever his equal in the history of the sport, the history of the game, frankly. We'll talk about that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good to have you in today. Black Rifle Coffee. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. 20% off your first coffee club order. Veteran-owned coffee, serving premium coffee to people who love America. It's good to have you in. All sorts of stuff today. Last hour of the show, we're going to be drafting the first round of the NFL draft. I cannot wait for that, obviously, because that's like what I do now, especially living in a hotel. It's what I do all day. And so 6 years ago, two teams in the NBA shot 33s a game. Today, it's 26. If you watched Utah dismantle the Lakers last night, they hit 14 threes in the first half. I watched. Just one after another, after another, after another. It's getting easier to do. And all this is because of Steph Curry. But Patrick Ewing was talking about Steph Curry. And it's interesting because Steph Curry has made Patrick Ewing's skill set less in demand. The classic back to the basket center. But Ewing was talking about Steph Curry.
You know, Steph, like Michael, changed the game in terms of, you know, you have guys shooting those deep shots and doing the things that he did. Michael changed it by all the dunking that he was doing. And Steph, you know, it's funny. I went to Georgetown, played his school when they were in college, and my son was on Georgetown's team. So I went to the game and he single-handedly kicked our butts. And I still didn't think he was going to be the player that he become. You know, I take my hat off to him. He's definitely a student of the game. He's worked at his craft.
He's the most disrespected player in the game. People talk about Devin Booker being disrespected. Has Devin Booker won multiple titles? Has Devin Booker been a unanimous MVP? Devin Booker's not disrespected. What's he done? He's just talented. Steph Curry's completely disrespected. There's only three players in basketball that have changed the game. Now, there's been a lot of great players. Shaq was great, but he was a unicorn. There was never going to be another Shaq on the market. Same with Kareem. Michael Jordan was the first to change it. How did he change it? Up until Michael Jordan, it was understood you needed a center to win a championship. And the Bulls, nope, guards and wings can dominate. Wasn't about bigs. Didn't have to do that anymore. You didn't have to have a McHale. Didn't have to have a Will. Didn't have to have an Akeem. Didn't have to have a Kareem. Didn't have to have a big. Michael Jordan changed it. You could be driven by wings and guards and win championships and dominate the sport. The second person to change it was LeBron James. Mobility now is essential. We look at Bradley Beal for Washington and ask, what's wrong with Bradley Beal? Why would he stay in Washington? LeBron James changed the way we actually look at talent. If you don't at least consider joining other great players, it's like bad business. Loyalty! Oh, please. That's an eye roll. LeBron changed the way players move. If you don't now consider joining better players, you're just kind of a dumb businessman. And number three is Steph Curry. Steph Curry changed how all basketball was played. All of it. When you do a fast break now in basketball, even if you have the numbers advantage, you're allowed to pull up for a three-point shot. Your high school and college coach would have benched you for doing that. Now you are encouraged analytically on a fast break when you have the three-on-one advantage numbers-wise to pull up and shoot a three if you're the right guy. He essentially eliminated guys like Dwight Howard, an eight-time All-Star who is now seen as an offensive liability. Where would Dwight Howard get drafted today? Giannis now. MVP? Please, can't have him late in the game. He's a liability. He also changed his own position. Nobody really that wants to win a championship looks at Russell Westbrook and says, pure athleticism works. John Wall, similarly. John Wall and Russell Westbrook, they can't shoot at a point guard position. They're seen as liabilities. Teams beg John Wall to shoot jumpers. Teams strategize to let Russell Westbrook keep hitting, shooting threes. There's been a million great players. Only three have changed it. MJ, LeBron, and Steph. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, speaking of making threes, the Jazz.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first half of that game. Joy, first of all, the Lakers now are so depleted, they can't defend. First of all, they don't hit the three. They can't defend the three.
They scored 89 points last night.
I know.
The Jazz won 114-89 last night. Lakers' fourth loss in a row, and they're struggling without Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder in the lineup. After the game, Frank Vogel was asked if he was disgusted by anything that he's seen from his team during the stretch, but he remains confident that they will bounce back.
Nothing's disgusted me. I love our guys. We're competing. We're grinding. We're staying together. We know we're shorthanded, and a tough part of our season. But we know it's a marathon, and our group's staying connected and ready to compete again on Friday night. Try to turn this thing around, but very confident in our group.
The Jazz made 22 three-pointers.
Yeah,
shot 46% from the three. And held the Lakers to 40% shooting, 8 of 33 from three-point range.
You know what the bubble's really tough on? On injury-depleted teams, because they've scrunched all the games together now. So you're playing more games in a shorter time. So when you're injury-depleted,
it hurts you much more.
Way more punitive.
Especially someone like Anthony Davis.
Right. So what you're asking is LeBron, essentially, you don't get that extra day to rest. You're basically play, fly, hotel, nap, little shoot around play. So all the teams that are struggling are the teams that are depleted. Maybe they have an older veteran guy who probably shouldn't be playing 38 minutes. Los Angeles is just, this is not a team built for this current NBA schedule off the pandemic, which is every other night you're playing.
What benefited them in the bubble is now hurting them in this condensed season.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be too surprising considering that the Lakers and the Heat also struggling, Heat also had major
Celtics.
Injuries, Celtics, were teams that were in the bubble late. And as we saw with the Lakers, the bubble really benefited them because they didn't have the travel, they didn't have the wear and tear, and they were a veteran team with great leadership, similar to the Heat, who were able to withstand the pressures of the bubble and benefit from not having that. Now, the Lakers are second worst in three-point shooting percentage in the NBA. They're trying to make up for the points that they don't have with Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder.
And what happens when you're tired? You lose your legs. What happens when you lose your legs? You lose your shot. So the Lakers suddenly are a fatigued team that cannot shoot and can't defend the three and rush people off the three-point line.
They're hoping to get Schroeder to clear protocol and be back on Friday. They desperately need him. Obviously, he's not dealing with an injury. He's in COVID protocol. But this is really showing that they need to make sure that Anthony Davis is 100% healthy before they bring him back. And yes, I'm with you. It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite, but that's been Anthony Davis's career. Like, this is the book on him. and they have to make adjustments. But while we're talking about the Lakers, the Jazz are playing unbelievable basketball. So if they are healthy going into the playoffs and the Lakers aren't, I mean, who are you picking in a seven-game series?
Well,
it's Lakers Jazz right now.
So what is this schedule benefiting this year? So we have a scrunch schedule. What did you call it? A condensed schedule.
Condensed.
So who is it benefiting? Teams that have done the same system for 2 or 3 years that have depth.
And a couple stars.
So what happens? Utah is playing the same system for years. They've got depth. They don't need the extra day of coaching. They don't need the extra day of rest. A lot of these games are teams rolling the ball out and playing.
Well, yeah, you're not getting the same amount of shoot-arounds.
No.
Practices.
Tape study. So Utah's been running the same system under Quinn Snyder for years. They're healthy. They're deep. They're talented. So what you're basically, a lot of these games are coming down to, it's a little bit like, not AAU style, but it's like, let's just go play tonight. You're not having big film study. So a team like Utah, by the way, Philadelphia's got 3 stars, and they're healthy right now.
Brooklyn.
So it's a league in which offensive star-studded teams are going to have some advantages here, because when you play an offensive star-studded team, you need an extra day of prep and coaching and film study to try to limit somewhat of their offense.
Yep.
So Utah's right now with this team and this staff can roll the ball out and win 55 games.
And they are.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson was selected to his first All-Star game this year, and he is also thinking about participating in the dunk contest.
Boom.
He was asked yesterday about the possibility, and he left the door open. He did not commit. He said, I might. You never know. We all obviously are aware of the LeBron James dunk contest saga throughout his career and not getting that. So hopefully we see this from Zion Williamson. I could see him doing the LeBron thing and not doing it, though.
You know, it's so funny. People are now saying, I don't know how good he'd be in the dunk contest. Okay, let's just stop doubting him. First of all, he would do it with such power. You don't have to just dunk clever.
And, who's saying that?
Twitter.
Oh, the Twitter.
Twitter is saying today that I don't know how good he would be in a dunk contest. I'm going to go with he would win it.
You know, Twitter has about 6 bad days and 1 good day a week. this would be one of those bad days. Zion Williamson is obviously going to win the dunk contest.
Yes, obviously.
He's the most... Without doing, like, who, he would just do that. Like, just do that. What he does in the game is the dunk contest. I understand, like, the dunk contest, it gets a little gimmicky and you gotta, like, do a lot to win these days, but he's higher than the backboard. What are you talking about?
Look at this.
It's not a good day for you, Twitter.
If I was Zion, I wouldn't dunk. I would just show highlights to the judges of my season's dunk and just say.
He just rolls out a big screen.
Big screen. Say, just what do you think? I don't even need to participate. I give him 10s.
This is me. J.J. Watt has reportedly received multiple contract offers since being released by the Texans. The most lucrative one is said to be between $15 and $16 million.
Well, that's interesting, Joy, because there's like one of the teams that is bidding for him has that cap space. Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Many teams are still in the running. The Titans, the Packers, and the Bills are reportedly in the lead. But obviously, as you mentioned, the Browns have also shown interest and have the cap space, but it's unknown who has actually made an offer. So that salary range would put him in the likes of Za'Darius Smith, Chandler Jones, Melvin Ingram, Shaq Barrett, Bud Dupree, Dante Fowler Jr., Matt Judon. So it sounds like a lot, but for the level that J.J. Watt played at last year, it's not. Now, obviously, J.J. Watt has some injury history, but he also brings a lot else to the table. And people don't really pay attention so much. Like, you know, we're obviously showing highlights, like big spectacular plays, which J.J. Watt is capable of, but he's actually a great run blocker as well. So, you know, we kind of tend to compartmentalize his skill sets.
He's still a very good player.
Yes, he is, and he's going to obviously get that. I don't know. I guess I just still don't see it with the Browns.
I don't see it either. I just don't buy it. But listen, J.J. Watt is doing something which defensive players don't have a brand. He does.
Right.
So he is feeding. I'm not insinuating any reporters, but he's feeding the media this. He is driving his price up.
Playing the game, he should. He absolutely should. We'll play.
Yeah, he's playing the game.
We're enjoying playing this game with you.
Yeah.
All of this speculation is fun for all of us.
Listen, players, Russell Wilson and his peep are leaking stuff because they're upset. J.J. Watt and his people are leaking stuff because he wants to get paid. I am here to be used.
Right.
I've always said that. Use me, please. If you, I will get your message out.
We're happy to facilitate.
Yeah. DM. I'm all DM me all you want. Slide into my DMs. I'm good, J.J. Watt. All right. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I don't remember how Chris Broussard, did he criticize Zion? Because there was one show, Joy, that loved Zion out of college. And we said he was going to be a top 20 player by the end of his, you know, first 82 games.
Yeah,
and
that was us.
Yeah, that was us. Well, the show, Honesty Brokers. Let's go to Broussard, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. I don't know. I think Broussard was a little critical of him. All right, Chris, it's honesty time. Are you surprised how good he is?
I'll tell you where I was, Colin. I was comparing him. Well, let me say it this way. I didn't go full on guaranteed to become the GOAT like you did. All right. I didn't go that far. All right. But I did. I compared him to Charles Barkley. I think he's the new age version of Charles Barkley, a little bit Larry Johnson, but I love the Barkley comparison.
Yeah.
I felt it then when he was drafted, and I feel it now. I think his skills, his jump shot will improve to the point, you know, Barkley didn't come into the league shooting that way.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be able to shoot it better in the years to come. Obviously, he's got the power and the explosiveness of Barkley. What he doesn't do well that Barkley always did well is rebound.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Zion can't rebound. For him to average 6 boards a game is a disappointment. But he looks great. I like the fact that he's on the All-Star team. I wouldn't have thrown a hissy fit had he not made it. But I like that he's there. He'll be there the next 10 years or so if he stays healthy. And what I like, too, Colin, is that Stan Van Gundy is putting the ball in his hands.
Yes, yes.
Now, I don't want him to become LeBron James. I don't want him to have the ball in his hands all the time. He's not that level of player, but for that to happen sometimes, for him to, you know, move without the basketball, be around the paint and cutting and slashing and getting easy buckets, all of that is great. And they've actually taken off since the ball's been in his hands a little more. They've won 7 of their last 12, which is a lot, is very good for them. So I like what I'm seeing from Zion, but he's got to improve in a lot of other ways. The outside shot, the rebounding. And obviously the defense, but he's a young kid. I'm not going to hold that against him.
By the way, there's a piece of video here we show. It's very quick. When he drives the lane against, I think it's the Philadelphia 76ers, and he puts a shoulder into a member of the Sixers, and a 6'6 defender literally flies to the floor. He initiates so much power and so much contact. I want to show it one more time to our TV audience. Right. I'm sorry for the radio people. It'll come up in a second here. And just look at the size of the athlete. He knocks to the floor. I'll be patient here. Right here. No, not this one. It's coming right after this. All right, give me a second here, Broussard. These are pro athletes. Okay, these are pro athletes. No, it's right after this, I swear to God. Sorry, radio audience. I deeply apologize. Watch this. Watch this. Look at that. Look what he does to that player.
Yeah.
That's a 6'6 player.
He hit the stanchion. Yeah.
Knocks him 12
feet.
Well,
you saw the other night. You saw what he did to Tristan Thompson.
Yes.
In that game, that comeback on Boston, where he just pulverized poor Tristan. And I like Tristan, but my goodness. No, he's playing well.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold the winning. People are holding, oh, they're not winning. How well can he be playing? LeBron James didn't make the playoffs his first 2 years.
That's right.
Kevin Durant didn't make the playoffs his first 2 years. And they obviously were balling. So you get a grace period as a young guy.
Sure.
You really do. Unless you come in and play with a superstar like Kobe with Shaq, Magic with Kareem. Otherwise, you get a grace period to win.
All right, so there's a lot of arguments today about the Celtics and Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens. And I've been saying this, Joy and I talked about this. We have a condensed schedule, and it's really not benefiting a team like Boston. Boston has to play a certain way. Boston needs extra. They're very tactical. They need the extra day of practice and film study. And they've dealt with some injuries. So this kind of talented Boston team, that basically this condensed schedule is taking out a lot of coaching. that it's just like, go out, guys, and play. You play, you fly overnight, you land, you get a shoot around, and you play. And I don't think they got to the finals last year, Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think it's Brad Stevens. I think this condensed schedule is benefiting some teams, and I think it really hurts the Celtics and Brad Stevens. That's my take.
Somewhat. I mean, look, obviously coaching has made a difference in Philly. You know, Doc Rivers is doing a great job there. I heard what you said earlier about Quinn Snyder and these guys being in the system, but Quinn Snyder's doing a great job of coaching. I mean, that team, he's the coach of the year for me right now by a mile. So I think coaching is still having an impact. And Brad Stevens, anybody that says he's not a good coach just isn't watching the game. So he is definitely a good coach. There's no doubt about it. And he's earned the right to be able to work through this tough period. And it's tough. They've gone 7-14, Colin, over their last 21 games. I mean, but here's the question about Brad Stevens. Can he handle Ferraris?
Yeah.
He's the guy that makes the most out of a Honda Accord. You know, like at Butler, at Butler, you're not getting blue chippers.
Yeah.
You're not getting the guys with the egos and all the hangers on that are going to the pros. And Boston, you know, they had a lot of guys that fit that Brad Stevens mold early.
Yeah.
Kyrie gets there and he can't handle him. All right. Now Tatum and Jaylen Brown are growing into superstars. Now, they came up under Stevens, so I would think it'd be a little different, but right now he's struggling with those. I'm not saying there's a beef between those guys, but having two All-Stars, Colin, they got two All-Stars, and they're below 500, and that's a problem. So that's the thing to watch. There are coaches in the NBA that can maximize so-so talent. Kenny Atkinson, when he was in Brooklyn, right? I mean, you got these role players, and they're playing hard, and they're gutting it out, and they're beating teams they shouldn't beat, and they're 42-40, and you go to that, wow, that guy can coach. But then you give him some real talent that could win a championship or come close, and he struggles with it because he overcoaches.
Right.
And so that's the thing to watch with Brad. Again, he's earned the right to work through this, but going forward, that's something to keep an eye on.
If you had a coworker, and the coworker missed one day of work a week. You work with Rob Parker on your radio show. And once a week, Parker called up and said, I got a bad back or a laryngitis. You would think to yourself, yeah, I like him, but he's not terribly dependable. Anthony Davis has missed 20% of his games in the NBA. Okay? Once again, he's nowhere to be found. And I do wonder, he signed a 5-year contract for a reason. Could I make this argument, Chris? Last year, the pandemic benefited one team, the Lakers. Their old star got a 4-month break, and their brittle star got a 4-month break. And then they're not going to get that. There's no proof that Anthony Davis can give you 82 games in a playoff run healthy. And last year, as awful as the pandemic is, it was a little bit of a hiatus break for the Lakers, for older LeBron and brittle AD. And I look at him and I think, this is exactly what he is, watching the game in a nice sweater. This is what I've seen most of his career.
Well, first of all, on the Rob Parker thing, I mean, working with Rob Parker every day, that actually sounds pretty favorable if he took a day off per week. I wouldn't frown at that, no. But, no, look, Colin, you make a point about Anthony Davis that's undeniable. Last year was the aberration. And I don't know if he was trying to impress LeBron or what, but it was good. LeBron sets a tone. He sets a standard. And Anthony Davis felt compelled to live up to it. He was playing through little nicks and knacks and bruises and bumps that we've never seen him play through. And it was great. But this year he's kind of back now. And Achilles is nothing to mess around with. But he does seem like he's falling back into his old habits. So what I'm saying, Colin, is that Anthony Davis, not during this 5 weeks, whatever it is that he'll be off, he not only needs to get himself right physically, but he needs to do some soul searching mentally.
Yes.
Because this was the year he was coming off that championship. He was supposed to be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of the year, I think ESPN had him the second best player in the league, which was ridiculous. But still, that's what people were expecting. And I thought there'd be a natural passing of the torch from LeBron to AD. It's your team now. Take us to the promised land. And AD just hasn't done it. He's fallen off in points, rebounding, blocks, free throw attempts. He's even gone from being an 80% career foul shooter to 71% this year. So there's something going on in terms of his motivation, mentally, whatever it is. But I want him, if I'm a Lakers fan, I want him coming back in 4 weeks with his game face on and bulldozing people over the next, you know, 2 months of the season. So it is something to watch with AD. There's no doubt about it.
Chris Broussard, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Good talking to you, bud. Loved it.
All right, my man. Peace.
Good stuff. Good talk. Yeah, the thing about Anthony Davis, it's not just the injuries. He really got off to a bad start this year. So he was down on everything, down in his shooting. And, you know, it's something to think about. Some guys, we talk about this, some guys are just not built for that pressure. They love coming to the arena. Like Kobe Bryant always wanted to be the man. He didn't want to be the only man, but he wanted to be the man. He drove to the arena every night, and it was like, this is my team. Anthony Davis has never been that guy. Anthony is very comfortable being like a really highly compensated two. And that doesn't mean he's not an all-time great, but this was the year, the passing of the baton, and as Chris said, emotionally, he's telling you, he didn't really want it. This is not what he wants. All right, coming up next, very interesting, the quarterback coach for the Buccaneers talking about Tom Brady and why he came to Tampa. Fascinating comparison to Peyton Manning. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Cremo Barber Shave Cream fights the burn. Available at major retailers, Amazon, and at cremocompany.com. All sorts of stuff. Shaving cream. I tell young broadcasters whenever I talk to them, there is no perfect job. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm well compensated. I've got a great partner. And there's a headache around every corner. Every week there's something I'm dealing with. And I'm in the best space in the country in this industry. And there's an argument. There's an issue, a roadblock, something I have to navigate every other week. That's just the way the business is. There are no perfect jobs. Now, there have been years where it's been easier. Okay, there have been times and sections of it where everything kind of works perfectly. You know, you get the right boss. You know, sales are good. You get the right partner. But there's no perfect job. And it's interesting, Tom Brady's quarterback coach had never met him before this year. His name is Clyde Christensen. And he peeled back the curtain a little bit on CBS Sports Radio. He said, when I talked to him, he kept mentioning initially he really liked what Peyton Manning did in Denver. He thought it was fun. He thought it would be a cool challenge. Can I do this somewhere else? Can I pick a team with enough good players and win somewhere else? Obviously, Peyton had won a ton in Indy. And Tom had won a ton in New England. But it's interesting when you think about this, how perfect it was this year in Tampa. It was really perfect. You have a winning coach. They were desperate for you. They had a ton of weapons, a clearly capable general manager, and they listened to you. You wanted Gronk, you got him. You wanted AB, you got him. You needed help on the offensive line, they got him. Leonard Fournette was available. You went and got him. There's only one other quarterback in the league that has that. Patrick Mahomes. He's got a Super Bowl winning coach, a great GM. He's treated like a star, and they listened to him. During the draft last year, Brett Veach texted in the first round, texted Mahomes, says, give me three players you want. He named three players, the first being Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back, and that's who they picked. Okay, Brady wanted Gronk, wanted AB. Remember when AB came, we were all like, do they need AB? I'm not sure. What? They got him touchdown in the Super Bowl. So when you see Russell Wilson now upset, Russell Wilson, according to The Athletic, watched the Super Bowl and seethed at everything Brady had. When you see Aaron Rodgers, do you guys remember 2 years ago? It may have been three. Aaron Rodgers just wanted the Packers to re-sign tight end Jared Cook. That's all he asked for. They didn't. They let go of his quarterback coach. They didn't tell him. Deshaun Watson just doesn't want to get hit like this. So you think to yourself in the NFL, God, what a great job. There are currently two quarterbacks, and it will not last forever. It's perfect. That's it. That's it. Brady is treated like a star. The coach isn't the issue. The GM's not the issue. He's got a bunch of weapons, and they'll listen to him. They don't do that with Aaron in Green Bay. They don't do that with Russ in Seattle. They don't do that with Deshaun in Houston. Deshaun in Houston was told they'd listen to him. So it was worse. Not only didn't they listen to him, they promised they would, and then they didn't. So, you know, you think when you're out there looking for jobs, don't get too precious. There are no perfect jobs. Even for Brady, even for Aaron Rodgers, even for Peyton Mannings, even for Favre, there's an obstacle. The perfect moments are brief. I mean, they were also lucky at the end of the year, everybody got healthy for Tampa. I mean, it literally was perfect. The year before, Tom, except for those Randy Moss years, never really had great weapons. He didn't. He had like 3 years where they had a good defense, a good O-line, and perfect weapons. Tom was overcoming stuff always. They always had a deficiency at wide receiver. They always penny pinched on pass rushers. They never spent the big money on free agents. So don't get too precious. Perfect doesn't exist. And if it does, it is for a very, very short time. Driving is great when the weather is good, but it's often not, like currently right now. Michelin Endurance XD silicone wiper blades, designed to repel water, snow, and ice. Get yours today. Available only at Walmart. They last 2 times longer than all other blades. Hour 2 next.